Hello.
Hello, am I speaking with Miss Taylor?
Who's speaking?
Hi, Miss Taylor. My name is Aaron. I'm calling from MMA Legal in regards to your Scottish redress application.
Right.
Okay. Do you have around about 10, 15 minutes to have a chat with myself? Is that okay?
Yeah, I.
Perfect. Just to confirm, Miss Taylor, the password on your account is Florence.
Yeah, that's right.
Perfect. And for data protection, can you confirm your address for me, please?
12 Butch Crescent and Soon.
Perfect. And the postcode?
DH26LD.
Perfect. Thank you very much for confirming that, Miss Taylor. Yeah, Miss Taylor, yeah, you have now come through to the investigation team at MMA Legal. I know that you've been speaking to my colleague Billy about 3 weeks ago. So what the point of my phone call is I'm just here to gather more knowledge about yourself in regards to your time in care and how that may have affected you, and also if it does still have an effect on you. Also, I'll ask you a series of questions, just gathering the best knowledge I can about yourself. I'll take some details in regards to where you're registered with your current doctors. I'll confirm your care settings so we can request your records from the local.
Subject that says request to everybody yet.
What's that, sorry?
Have you put in requests?
Not yet, but we will be after this phone call, but this is kind of the point of my...
3 weeks ago?
No, sorry, this is the point of my phone call, so I can confirm your care settings and the local authority that placed you there, and also get where you're registered with your doctors, so we can request your medical records as well, because...
I thought you'd done all that.
No, my colleague Billy doesn't she doesn't grab that information from yourself. She grabs your care settings. I can see that obviously you're adopted by Mr. and Mrs. Ian and Elizabeth Taylor. But yeah, Billy wouldn't have grabbed any like GP details, anything like that.
Right. Okay.
So that, as I said, that's all I'm doing. I'm just confirming your care settings, and then I'll be getting you where you're registered with your doctors. I'll also give you a little bit of a rundown on how the case is going to progress from here now, and then I'll go over the legal fees with yourself, and then I'll send you back on your way to have a nice Wednesday morning. Does that sound okay?
Yeah, that's fine.
Perfect, Mr. Taylor. Thank you very much. I'll be as quick as I can for you. Okay, so just so I can start off by gathering the best knowledge I can about yourself, are you currently experiencing any mental health illnesses at the minute?
Yeah.
Okay, and what may they be?
Apparently I've got complex PTSD. This hasn't been confirmed with my doctor. It's been confirmed with the disability kidney pitch doctor.
Yeah.
Pretty much, I've been to my doctor since I was about 15. When I was 35, they're absolutely shambolic. It's got me down as being anxiety.
Yeah.
I've not out the door for a year.
Oh, wow.
My life never changed since COVID came. I was hiding.
Yeah.
My doctor was an absolute shambles. But again, I think it's in with this post-adoption.
Yeah.
The doctor doesn't seem to have me before I'm 5 years old.
Yeah.
My doctor. It's connected to the church. It's just all dodgy.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I do apologise also for you are experiencing them symptoms. It's not the nicest at all. And, myself, I have dealt with mental health. I've had anxiety, I've had depression, I've had PTSD myself. I haven't had, of course, complex PTSD, so I wouldn't know the severity of maybe what you're experiencing.
But complex is things that have happened over a long period of time.
Yeah.
Like, pretty much since day one.
Yeah. So I can understand, obviously, to a degree, the severity of some of the symptoms that you are experiencing. So I can only imagine what you are going through, Miss Taylor, but us as a law firm, we are here to help and support you the best way that we can, and obviously get...
That's quite annoying to me, because these, social workers, this church, this council, And they all had a duty of care. And I never made an agreement with them. I never made an agreement with anybody.
Yeah.
I have a child and I'm just teaching. But the fact that I was Catholic, my parents were married. They were separated, but they were married. And I got moved to a Protestant church cult when I was Catholic.
Yeah.
Like, that's just shocking.
Yeah, no, so it's wrongdoing against religion in itself anyway, isn't it?
Well, see, that's what I think, but, like, most people actually said to me, oh, yeah, like, that is, like, a no-no, like, so, I mean, that's like me being Chinese and you put me in an African family.
Yeah, no, of course, you feel out of place, don't you?
Aye, totally.
Yeah, no, I can understand that, and obviously I've made a note of that, so... We can when we grab a statement, a formal statement from you, obviously I know that you give a brief statement to Billy in regards to your time in adoption. You know, later down the line for this process, we'll unfortunately go back through that adoption time with yourself and gather each and every detail we can and put that into a formal statement from yourself to then obviously put that with your case to present it then to the Scottish Government. So obviously we'll expand on that kind of.
Sean Keeney, he's actually the MP, the Scottish, like, whatever you call him, that you see where Gowdy is. I went to him and I got absolutely too back. I didn't even get a response because he's connected to this crooked town with the church, the nursing home. That this church has already been filled up on child trafficking.
Yeah.
And they got away with it because of who they are.
Yeah, no, it's well, this is why this Scottish Redress scheme has come into place. Because, you know, survivors and people who have gone through it, you know, the historic abuse have, you know, there was so many cases trying to go through court and there's a massive campaign against the Scottish Government to the point where they then opened up this kind of division to help survivors and other people.
The social workers, like, that I spoke to in Perth, and Sterling, they don't even say that I'm anything to do with Perth. Yeah, I've got a letter stating the head of social work Perth, Melville Street, Perth.
Yeah.
And then, like, at Perth, well, we don't know him, like, we've been stupid.
Yeah, no, of course.
It's just a complete and utter, do you know what it is?
It's just confusing, isn't it?
Well, it's buying and selling kids.
Yeah.
Then the parents, the new parents, will give all their money to the church.
Yeah.
For the rest of their life. Because the church has given them their kids.
Yeah.
But my dad had to pay for me. I've got bills that are sitting like £100 for foster care. I wasn't in foster care in Perth. So mum and dad shouldn't have had to pay anything for us.
Yeah, of course.
That's the way they've done it. It's like £9.60 is the first bill, and then the second bill was £100. But £100 then, the average wage was £23 a week. So I said, mum and dad were spent their whole life.
Yeah.
Like, didn't have a car, we had nothing here, but, like, well, we thought we had the Christian faith, eh?
Yeah.
But it's just a complete and utter cover-up, so, I don't know, like, still trafficking.
Yeah, no, of course, and that them documents that you do have as well, keep them handy, because we'll probably need them a few at a later date, obviously when strengthening your case throughout this process, you know, it'd be good for us to have
I've also got a thing from the birth mum, saying that she didn't want me to be adopted, she wanted to get a house, get me back, get the other kids back, and that's what she did. She got a house, she got the other kids back, and she said, I didn't want her adopted. And they took me away without even telling her. I'd been away for 8 weeks before they even said, oh, by the way, your baby's already away, but if you want her back, you have to go through the courts because this the better the news.
Yeah, well, that's not the nicest thing to say, is it?
No.
Especially when a child should never be, too hungry from the mum.
The social works, they're like, oh, well, you don't know. And I'm like, well, what do you mean you don't know?
Yeah, you should know. You're the local authorities.
Like, but the per council are, because I was brought up in this church, right? And in Perth, I've worked in certain places, but you've got to be connected to this church.
Although
I've been connected to a church, I'm not hiding our secrets anymore.
Yeah.
So now, this is why they're trying to, like, I've been getting harassed for the last 6 years. Yeah.
Oh, really?
I asked to actually move back because of my daughter.
Yeah.
And we stopped it. Like, there was no reason. That's just actually been horrific to me. And it's like, well, I don't have anywhere to go. But, I mean, like,
yeah.
I'm here. I was brought here. Not for my choice. I don't really want to be here either.
That's
the bad news from speaking to the council now. My number is blocked from trying to speak to social services or anything.
Yeah. No, I do understand that, and we're here to now do
is
that
this
now.
Normal, like, I don't know anybody else like this, but is this normal? Do you get this all the time?
Yeah, no, we do, and this is why it's good for someone like yourself to get the reassurance that, we are experienced in this field. We've dealt with over, I'd say at least 3,500 people in Scotland who come through every single different background, and when putting all their backgrounds together, it falls into, I think, around about 5 categories. So you've got, obviously, you've got your children's homes, you've got your boarding schools, you've got your secure units, you've got your churches or bisques of where, children were listed as well. And obviously there is some prisons that are part of the scheme, not all, but some. So there is many people that fall into each of them categories. So especially, when it comes to the Church of Scotland.
See, this is what worries me with this adoption agency, this place in Edinburgh, right? Because it's changed its name twice, but the original name was Guild of Service, which was to help and protect women and girls.
What was the name of the service, sorry?
It was the Guild of Service.
The Guild of Service?
Yeah, Western Division, whatever that is supposed to be. It seems to be a foreign thing as well.
Okay, was that in Perth, was it?
No, that was in Edinburgh.
In Edinburgh, okay. Just trying to do some research on it, you see?
Yeah, my mum and dad that adopted me, they were members of that church. And that church had something to do with the housing that they stayed in was, used to be run by monks. A lot of sort of, vulnerable people got put there.
Yeah, okay. So I can see here, it says the Guild of Service in Edinburgh, Scotland, refers to a historic social welfare and adoption organisation that later became known as Family Care and is now Birthlink. It originated in 1911 and was renamed Guild of Service in 1941. So it says, it supported women, children, fostering and adoption services in Scotland. In 1954, it became a registered adoption agency based at 21 Castle Street in Edinburgh.
Yeah, that's them that had Edgar Lodge, though. It's the same place. They owned that. They had that children's home, Edgar Lodge.
Okay, yeah. Because in 1978, the organisation changed its name to Family Care and later became Birthlink, which today helps people affected by adoption trace family origins and access records.
Now, Birthlink, I've been on to them last year and the year before and the year before that, and they can't even tell me much, to be honest, because they don't seem to know about the Guild of Service. You know, nobody seems to be saying anything about the past.
Yeah.
They've suspended a lot of their services now in the past year. And, like, they won't talk about pre-adoption, like, they won't talk about anything now. All the everyone's been suspended, half the folk have left.
Yeah, okay.
And it's like, all right, okay, but why? You know, why have they suddenly left? You know, why have they suddenly suspended all their services? They also got done 2 years ago as well for destroying letters and evidence. They just got rid of it all. And they paid us an £18,000 fine. Rather
wow.
than not pay, said, you know, the people.
Of course, yeah.
And this person from those council are up to this in the net. Like, the church, the school, the facility of school, the nursing home. See, that was in the nursing home as well, because I worked there for 9 months, and I reported what I've seen. I couldn't work there any longer.
Yeah.
Could not turn a blind eye. And that nursing home is connected to the church.
Yeah.
And that church is connected to my mum and dad. And mum and dad, well, mum hasn't spoken to me for 7 years. Because they've put all these rumours against me. And it's like, I've not done anything. So I've done what I thought my dad would have done. Like, dad is nice, mum wasn't.
Yeah.
I thought I was doing the right thing with reporting the nursing home, but obviously I've just reported everything, and I was right in the middle of it, and they're just trying to get rid of me. And that's why I've not went to the door for a year. I can't get my door. I feel like I'm going to get hit by a bus deliberately.
Yeah, no, I understand.
They're doing the research that her dad was pedophiles, and I don't know if she was awake, he disclosed it all, and she got hit by a car 12 years ago. The police have been, even the police have been horrific to me. Horrific.
How so?
Failing to protect me, failing to protect my mum and dad. People were in my mum and dad's house at COVID. Through the structure again. They weren't meant to go into people's houses at COVID. There was a law for a reason, but because they were connected to the church, it's okay, because we have church people who don't know you're not. My dad ended up, the woman from the church was in cutting his hair on the Saturday night, and 13 days later he was dead of COVID, and everybody had COVID. And I had to tell everybody, you're going to have to isolate, you're going to have to tell the minister, you're going to have to tell everybody, because you've been in the house and you shouldn't have been in the house.
Yeah.
I told the police as well. I put in a subject access request to the police a year ago in April, like past.
Yeah.
That's what bought it. He sent me something in a file and an email, and I said, I can't do email. I'm not very good at email. I need everything in paper form, but I can't actually read very well either.
Yeah.
I've just been masked for years. I don't know how I've managed to get to 53 years ago, didn't I?
Yeah, no, Miss Terry, you are doing really well, and you know, I know that you've suffered a lot, and you may not feel like you're doing well, but, you know, you've handled life amazingly, and, you know, you've gone through what you've gone through, and, you know, been, you know, you've had shut doors in your face from, as you said, you know, the police, the authorities around you, and you're still waking up every day, and you're still doing it. So you should be proud of yourself. It just takes some courage to do so. So you should be proud of yourself in that sense, Miss Taylor.
I have no option. I feel like I'm here for a reason. I feel like I've landed in this for a reason.
Yeah.
And my family, that like my birth family on your dad's side, they're all into politics. They're all into law in the front end. And it's like, I feel that side of me is like, I need to stand up for my first mum. You know, for what happened to her.
Yeah.
And what's happened to my daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and first mum's dead. They gave her a jag. But causes the fish, well, it causes cancer. And then we're meant to give this drug was stopped, and then the mother and baby will give them the drug to dry up the baby milk. And she had these drugs several times, I think, because she had 7 kids. And she died at 31 of cervical cancer.
Oh,
and
wow.
I actually tried to speak to my doctor about this, because, like, I had issues. My daughter's got issues, like, down there. And
yeah.
I'm not interested. They are not interested to follow up after my family issues. They don't even acknowledge that I was adopted. And I'm like, because I've never had that mum to go with me to the doctor.
Yeah.
I think I'm actually a woman. I think I've lost the plot. You know?
Yeah, no, it's...
I've asked them to speak about my mental health for years, and all they keep saying is they need to get your blood pressure under control. And they can't get it under control, and that's probably because it's a hereditary problem from in the family. But they don't accept that. I'd like more of all just to die.
No, it does sound like, Miss Terry, you do need a fresh pair of hands when dealing with a professional. Obviously, I understand that it's hard for you to go out the house, which, you know, sometimes these things don't have to be done outside the house. But...
I can't even go in my front garden.
Yeah.
I'm turning weird because I feel like everybody's trying to blacken my name. Well, actually, just speaking the truth.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with my mum and dad, didn't know. You know, my adopted mum and dad. But the mum keeping her mouth shut now and protecting the church just makes it worse.
Yeah, no, it is. I do apologise for what you have gone through. It's not the nicest at all, is it? It's just not. And it's just why we're here as a law firm to get back at policies that have done and had this effect on you. You know, it's hard to get back at them. You know, not many people, you know, can get a law firm behind them and want to work.
Because there's not a lot of places that, like, go anywhere near social services.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, rather than going on Facebook and shouting it to the world and going to the newspapers,
yeah.
I should have done years ago, but now I can't do that. Like, I can't. That scares me to death. I want to, and I know that the old shit like rude. But I think it's keeping a home. I do think that church, like, they've already been pulled up. They got away there because they own Stagecoach, a big bus company in Perth.
Yeah.
Because of the money, you know, and it's like, well, it doesn't happen twice in the same place, and that's only me, you know. I can't be the only one. And the fact that they had to pay for us, like, that mum always, well, we had to pay for you, you know, I've heard that my whole life. And I was like, well, maybe you shouldn't have bothered for the second child then. So why did you lose two? You had one. But they adopted, but he was a foundling. He didn't have a parent. The fact that my mum and dad were actually married, and they never got my dad's consent at all. And my mum, yeah, she was coerced in it. I was away for a year and a half before she signed the paper. But what could she do? We were going to be pregnant with another child, we were going to take that as well. That was already away. I was already away.
Yeah, no, that
was... They just took me from the foster mother. They didn't even tell her. They just turned up at her door and took me. So she would be traumatised.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the second mum by the time I'm a year old. And then I get the first mum and she's just not very nice at all.
Yeah. Well, that's...
She wanted that to my kids. That's all she wanted.
Yeah, as I said, Miss Taylor, we're here to work with you and support you in the best way that we can to, you know, to get, I don't like using the word, but to get revenge on the Scottish Government now and pay back for, you know, for what they've done to you and how they've treated you.
It's not like, how can you hold your head up knowing that you've done this and you
yeah.
have to all this stuff of it being Christian, that's no Christian. But that's my whole life has been a lie. I can't even look at anybody goes to church, like, because I feel like I want to knock their head off. Like, the Christian aid woman came to this door the other day and I was mental at her. This is an old woman, I was like, take your shite, your Christian shite, and get your butt. You know what I mean? I can't be doing that to people.
Yeah, no, I do, yeah. I understand.
I feel like I'm always standing. I'm so sorry, God.
No, that's okay. So obviously, this is what we're here for. We're here for you, you know, to support you and, you know, help you through this situation. I do understand that it is, you know, very difficult to speak about these things. And what you've gone through, but you know, this is what we're here for. We're an outlet, you know. It's, I understand.
Only one that's actually. So I mean, like, that is wrong. That's wrong. I just keep thinking in my head, maybe this is just meant to be. It's like I'm making it worse than it is. And...
From being in this job, Miss Taylor, I've never done this, but I promise, and I've never promised anybody in the whole of, you know, my time being in this job, but I promise that we'll put as much effort and time and work into this case to you know, get the severity of the compensation that you do deserve back from the Scottish Government.
I just don't want to be, like, embarrassed. Like, I don't want, it's not healthy for me. Like, I never wanted to come to Earth. I've got here. I don't feel safe here.
Yeah. Are you originally from Edinburgh, are you?
Yes, Finland. Well, I was born in Finland.
Finland, yeah.
McMahon. No, and then I find out that my adopted mum was actually born in Iowa. That's where my family come from. Yeah, she never ever mentioned that at all, my whole life. No. And I had a little brother that went with me, and he's apparently in Dundee somewhere. He was fostered by two social workers, and they are now head of social work in Dundee. And it's just going to work for him. You know, there's too many people on the inside that are, like, supposed to be neutral, and they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so you should just been completely switched up, haven't you?
Right, even now my son won't speak to me because I'm doing this. And he gets it wrong for Granny, and I was like, oh, it's nothing against Granny. I'm doing this because I feel that I need to do this. And my brothers should be doing this, but they're not.
Yeah.
Here, the sisters, the two sisters are dead. They're both dead. Both died at 44. Is that a
question?
Wow. I don't know, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's no one who's left. And if I don't do it, then nobody will get justice. It's not for me, it's not for money, it's for, like, the summit to her twice. No wonder she died 8 years later, probably of a broken heart rather than cancer. That's like, how do you do that? Don't do that.
Yeah, no, you need this closure for yourself, don't you? Yeah, I understand that.
I'm coming to the bone, I can't get, like, better. Sorry.
Yeah, no, as I said, we are here to help you and support you in every way that we can. So, you know, right now, you're not alone in this anymore. I know that you've been inside your house for a year, you haven't gone out, you know, I know you may not speak to many people, but, you know, we're a phone call away. We've always we're always here to listen and as I said, support you. And as I've just said, Danielle, we're here to build the biggest and best case that we can to put forward to the Scottish Government, you know, with this, even especially the, you know, the support and evidence that you've got in your house there with your foster care letters, you know, your letters from your social care, your social carers, sorry. You know, it's all support and evidence towards this case.
Like, there's stuff there from Clackmannan, there's stuff there from Edinburgh, but there's nothing for Perth. Absolutely, there's no doctor records. I remember going to the doctors, and I didn't remember what state it was in. I don't know if it was a social work doctor, or... I even said to the doctor at the surgery a couple of months ago, I said, like, when I'd asked for my record, and I said, your dad was a doctor here as well. And he says, no, he wasn't. I said, he was. Because there was a young Dr. Perry and there was an old Dr. Perry.
Mm-hmm.
His father and son. And now the young Dr. Perry is like in his 60s.
Yeah.
But he's like, no, there wasn't. And I was, there was, because it was my granny and granddad's doctor.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, why is he lying?
Yeah, what's his manner had?
Yeah. And I've bought paperwork from Melville Street. Blackfriars there. So I've got paperwork with that on the head of social work, Melville Street Perth. Yeah, they don't, and they got somebody from Dundee to phone me, somebody to do the adoption. And I said to her on the phone, I said, I'm not going to be rude, and we signed about 12, she did. It sounded like it was somebody's child phoning me. And I'm like, you've got, obviously, a new start to phone you, and like, what? I felt like I was speaking to a 12-year-old. She's like, what can I do for you? And I'm like, give you my paperwork.
Yeah.
You know? And she's like, well, we don't have, and it's like, well, you do. And she's like, well, I don't know. And it's like, well, why are you phoning me, you know? And again,
yeah.
It's like, wait, like, they're grinding me down.
Yeah.
I'm absolutely exhausted at all.
I can understand that, Miss Taylor. I can imagine. I felt like going to the street
last Thursday when they were actually seeing their home and standing at that John Cena's bit, trying to break out and shouting it to the world.
Yeah.
And the gentleman just can't do it. I've not got the actual balls to do it.
Yeah. No, not and hopefully that will change for yourself. You know, maybe after when you do have that closure, you will feel, you know, lighter. You will feel more confidence in yourself again because, you know, you've got that closure. And what I was going to say is, you know, maybe after you do have this closure and, you know, we do come to the end of the case and, you know, you've got that kind of payback or recognition for what they've done. Maybe it might be the time to get yourself out of Perth. You just don't know what will happen in 12, 18 months' time. You never know. It's never too late. You know, and...
I don't want to leave Perth. And I've nowhere to go. The only place I can think of it going is where the graveyard is for the mum and the sisters. But the town's horrible. Like, you couldn't get a worse town. Like, it's just derelict, there's no prospect, there's nothing.
Yeah.
I don't go out anyway, so... as long as I'm close to the graveyard, I think I would be alright, and I could just walk up there every day and it would get me out.
Yeah.
And it would eventually break my cycle, you know?
Well, as I said, it's never too late to break that cycle, Miss Taylor, never.
And that old man that lives with me, he's starting in a new town.
It may sound overwhelming at this point in time, but as I said, in 12, 18 months, I don't even know how you're going to feel in 12, 18 months' time. You know,
I can't make friends either way because people, I don't trust people, and I'm usually right.
Yeah. Sometimes the best person to be friends with is yourself, honestly.
Yeah,
because, you know, at least you know you can trust yourself and Yeah, so don't always beat yourself up over the fact that, you know, you don't have many people to turn to. I just want to say, no, that can't change.
My daughter, a bit older, and they said that I was traumatizing my kids.
No, you're not. You're just trying to share your experiences and being able to.
Women getting treated bad. There's too many men in the family with their hands, and the women have just got to put up with it because it's their own fault. You know, that's the way my mum was at it. Well, you know, she deserved a punch in the face because she's always said something wrong. I'm like, well, no, that's not the way it is.
Yeah, no.
That's not what you would be telling your daughter. Or I would be telling my daughter, but she's telling me that.
I understand that, and obviously, as I said, right, you know, your kids are meant to be, you know, someone who you can turn to, like, maybe be an outlet, as well as ourselves, like, you know, like we're being, and
my daughter, like, we're really close, and like she's so level-headed. I'm walking mess. Because of it, I was like, this needs to get resolved.
Yeah. But this isn't self-inflicted, is it? Do you know what I mean? That's what you can't blame is yourself.
According to the council, that's why I can't see on everything. That's why I can't speak to anybody. I'm not allowed to speak to anybody because I'm abusive. I'm like, I'm not abusive. Climbing the walls trying to get answers.
Horrible. Yeah.
Even like my subject access request that I asked for last year, and then I put it in again this year, and the email that the woman sent me, and it's like, that's a legal request. You know, it's not for her to tell me what I'm asking for. And she said, because they done it last year. I said, I don't care. You didn't do it properly. You didn't give me the information that I needed.
Yeah.
Last year. So I need it again, and she refused and blocked me from phoning the council.
Wow.
About anything.
Wow.
I can't phone up and pay my arrears for my rent. This will be the next bit. They'll be taking me to court to get me out of the house because I've not paid £10. Well, I can't, because my phone call won't go through.
Yeah. Of course. But it is only going to bite them back in the backyard, really, isn't it?
I hope so.
So.
I really hope so, because I think this house is connected to social work and vulnerable people as well.
Yeah.
Because the woman across the road, although this is a council house, the woman across the road to me that's got dementia has rights to my house. And how's that?
That doesn't sound right, does it?
No, the council bought this house back in 2016.
Yeah.
And I was in 2018, and they never registered the house in the borough.
Oh, wow. And okay.
Found all this out last year, and went to the land register and asked why the house not been registered, so it was bought, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then it got changed. But a screenshot of it when I first looked it up, so I've got proof of it. Then they changed that it was registered last year, but they put that it was registered from 2016, but they put the wrong price. Because it was 135,000, they put it was 122. So somebody's at the caper somewhere, and it's the council.
Yeah.
And they said, they want me to take this house. They want me to give everything to get me not to take this house. And I was like, look, I don't have arrears. I'm allowed to do a house swap. I want this house. And it was an absolute wreck when I got it. And it's not been registered, there's not been any, there was no fairness that, there was a hole in the wall for 9 years, there's water under the floor, they just didn't care. They said, there's no money for this house.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that's because it's not been registered. Yeah, that's the keepers. It is because it's social work. No vulnerable adults. No, they're at a scam of some sort. There's a woman across the road that's got dementia. Shouldn't have rights to my youth. I'm neither should her brother.
No, of course not.
The brother's an old man, he's 80 old, and he came right up to the fence to me last year. And I'll give back to painting the fence. And I said, look, you can't pass this thing to my dad. I'm passing your sister's guy that's right across the road.
Yeah.
I just walked my dad and he came up right up the fence. He said, I can do what I can want. And I'm not kidding, there's not a deal for under 80.
Wow.
It was like, what the hell? But now I get it, because he has got rights to this house. So he can't pass this thing to my dad.
Yeah, no.
I was never afraid of myself if the people would say that. I just think it's a big scam. Like,
yeah. Yeah, the sooner you're out of there, the better, isn't it? Definitely.
Well, yeah. I've actually, in the last 6 years, well, 5 years, because I got, because they said I was there, there was nothing wrong with me, and I kept applying from the PIP. I got PIP eventually, and the woman said it over the phone with me. Asked for a mandatory reconsideration, and she granted me within the hour. And she said, that's exactly what's wrong with you. And it made sense when she said it, and I was like, right, yeah, I get that. And it does. But how come a doctor can't say that? They won't talk about my mental health because of my blood pressure. And it's like, well, I'm still here, my blood pressure's been high my whole life.
Yeah.
Mental health is more important, but for the last 8 years, I'm not interested. Not interested at all. I can't even get a doctor. And when I do get a doctor, it's not my normal doctor. That's hard again. Truly sorry to say the truth. I want a normal life.
Yeah. I understand that. It will come. As I said, it will come. It's never too late.
Well, it will, because the doctors, they'll not say anything. Information, I gave them my national insurance number, and then, you know the number you get when you're a baby?
Yeah.
When you're first registered, I gave them that number, because I found it on the original birth certificate, and they still can't find my records. And I've contacted NHS, whatever it is, and asked them for my records, the central place.
Yeah.
Or the pie. You don't even get a response, and just treat like I didn't exist. Because I've got no right to anything. I don't even have a right to my own medical history, which actually scares me because of what my daughter's going through. She's had 6 years of hell, and I've never investigated anything. And now when I went down with her a year ago, they're like, well, people are shouting the NHS, and it's like, you don't understand, there's cancer in the family. Everyone is really young to die of cervical cancer.
Yeah, it is.
And this is her granny.
Yeah.
So it's like, why is she not wanting to put her phone on the medical history of your adopted parents?
Yeah.
Like, well, no, that's the money doing me medically. It's the biggest cover-up. And I just landed right in the middle of it. I know every single instruction, every single person. I know who's connected to who. With the dodgy nursing home. Foreign people, they're coming there. They're having to keep their mouth shut for 3 years. And they'll get sent back because they're visas.
Yeah.
I mean, all through that church. Then buy and sell babies.
We're definitely going to try and get this revenge for you, for what happened there, obviously.
But stand up and say, we were wrong. Your parents were married. Your dad should have a say. Your mum has a say. And when you took you away, you shouldn't have taken me away and then told my mum 8 weeks later. Oh, by the way, your baby's late. Oh, we told you. No, you never. And that was our worst. She's like, no, I'm not wanting another dog, but I've just like the dishes baked in the later, saying the garden was a mess, it was all mucky, and there was a mangy dog at the door. She had four kids. She was a single mother there, a husband that cared only about where this next woman was coming from. Like, I'm one of ten. I'm one of ten.
Wow, it's a big family.
She was just a baby making machine, eh? That's all she was.
Yeah.
That's a shame. It's like, it's just... It's like, no under my watch.
Yeah. Do you drink any alcohol or take any drugs at all?
I used to be a big drinker, and I said this to the doctor.
Yeah.
I went to a health woman. I said that I'm worried because I'm actually drinking more than I should be. I smoke weed.
Yeah.
Because I stopped drinking years ago, because drink is the devil, and drink just makes everyone worse.
Yeah.
Hope with my abusive ex, I took to smoking weed, hiding in my bedroom, and just doing it his way. And I came up against the law, but it's not against the law because it's medically, you know.
Of course, it's a coping mechanism, of course. Yeah. We understand that.
To me, that's better than 20 quid a day in cigarettes.
Yeah.
The
government want you to buy cigarettes instead of, buying cannabis, because with cigarettes, they've got the government tax on it, so that's why they want you to buy them. Whereas, the cannabis as such, it hasn't got government tax on it, so they don't like you buying it, because they're not in control of it.
Yeah. Because, when I spoke to the mental health woman, when I said about the cannabis and the drinking, and I did say, I said, I'm worried about the drinking. I know I can get a grip of it, but I'm tired of one. And then she said that she couldn't speak to me anymore. It had to be drug and alcohol people. And that just made it look like I was a complete mouthful junkie.
Yeah, of course, and you know.
And I actually stopped drinking. I knew I was going to stop. But you know what, I pulled from because I was worried about it. And I've never touched it for weeks and weeks and weeks. I didn't want to touch it. I can't afford to be touching alcohol. It's no good. It makes me put on weight. It's not healthy. You know, that it was a coping mechanism. No, I don't really. I don't think. I don't smoke weed.
I understand that. That's fine. Okay.
They won't even my doctor, I can actually get the cannabis thing, the prescription. But my doctor, because I've just got anxiety, that's what he's got me down with, anxiety. It's a little bit worse than that. But any time I go to the doctor, the first thing is get my blood sugar. When they didn't talk about anything else, we need to get this sorted first. And that's all we keep seeing for years. It's like, hello. They have high blood pressure, but that's not the only problem.
Yeah.
But I think it must all stem from the same... I just feel I'm a problem in there. It's like, oh, here she comes. Then that sort of thing. Here she is, she's on the phone again.
Yeah.
And I don't like being on the phone. I actually detest it. I thought you were maybe oval today because they've...
No. Yeah, no, for someone who doesn't like being on the phone, so you're having a very, very welcoming conversation with yourself. And
your attitude is, different.
Yeah.
Today than anybody else I speak to.
Yeah.
I can't even get all this out to somebody. I can't speak to, that's with advice last year about this. And because... When they phoned me, it wouldn't ring on my phone. I don't know why. It was blocked on my phone for some reason.
Yeah.
It's a workout where you just didn't help me. But citizens advice, remember, take your information from in-house. Right? And they can pass that to different people. So, I don't know. This is just the way my head's working, Somebody comes in about a forced adoption. they're going to pass that on to the relevant people in Perth. Because I'm not even supposed to speak to a council or in Perth.
Because you've been blocked from it?
No, because it's clear I was taken to, like, so it involves that council, that circle, if you like.
Yeah.
Same as the others. Like, you have no idea the things that I've seen in the solicitors. Three massive things, and it's like, like, say this one. Like, I lost my daughter because my solicitor forgot to turn up and defend me. Like, also it's caught to put in the defense the divorce and the husband wanted joint custody, and I said no. And I'm not stopped seeing her, but I need to be like, we have rules in our house. You know, we have tea times, we have bedtimes, that sort of thing. You've got to do your schoolwork, you know. So I lost my daughter through that, but then my daughter ended up in places that she shouldn't have ended up in, with people that were police ex-policemen.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that man took his own life last year when the subject access request went in. He died in the July, and it's like, did he get poisoned?
Yeah.
I really don't know. But, like, the thing is, the police and the social workers that were there to help us did the complete opposite and never helped me or my son. Like, we see, like a pedophile.
Yeah,
like,
of course, that's right. Yeah, he's potentially been quiet and lovely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, that's what I think. I really do, because the guy, he was fine, he got his divorce. His divorce was finalised the day before or something. And he'd met his pal for lunch, and then went to clean his Airbnb, then violent was it. Phoned his parents, who were in their 80s. The man was in his 60s. The parents came and picked him up and took him to their house, put him in bed and died.
Wow.
You take him to hospital.
Yeah, something's not right about it, is it?
No, it's
not at all.
And this is why I don't want to do it.
Yeah.
I feel like I said, I'm not, if I'm in the house with any day and then I'll let you talk to the house. But they'll not get me out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it hit me with a bus or a car or anything. Like,
yeah.
I don't know this thing absolutely mad. But I can't even see past this church and trafficking and, you know, vulnerable women and children, vulnerable girls, no boys, just girls and women. Nothing about boys. The girls are serious at all, but they involve boys. So where did my brother go?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's actually horrific. Honestly, even when there's flames going over my house, like I'm thinking, like, they're going to crash in my house.
Yeah.
You know, if a drone going to come in my window or just spying on me from above my window when I'm in the garden.
Okay. One question I do have for asking Miss Taylor, I do apologise and asking so. I know we have been speaking about a few sensitive things. Have you ever tried to take your own life or self-harm?
No.
Okay. And have you physically self-harmed?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. And when would you say that the last kind of event was?
No, I just picked this scab on my arm, so I don't know what it was, and it was a mole. Probably cancer, huh?
Yeah.
And I just picked it, and I can still keep picking it. But, I thought about that, but somehow I couldn't even tell you that thing. You see, I was sick, like, that would be with my boss mum and my two sisters. Do you know what I mean? There's not much here for me.
Yeah.
He's dead, but there's nice.
hör mig då. Då är det inte så.
Ja. I know it doesn't feel like there's much maybe for you or around, but once you maybe get this closure, you never know how you feel. This closure and this weight that is, you know, is on your shoulders at the minute. It, you know, I can imagine that you're not feeling much positivity from it. You're not seeing some light in the tunnel that you're currently in, but that doesn't, you know, exclude the fact that, you know, once these events come in your favour, you know, down the line, you might start to see that light.
Your body has your job cut it through yesterday, because they're going to eat, they're all clamming up, they're not seeing anything. They're like, well, we don't know who they are. It's like, you know, I started off as this person. You know, even my name was changed in the document that many times. The second name was changed. Misspelled. Even my date of birth was misspelled. 74 scores out to 73. It's like, well, make up your mind.
Yeah. No, this is what we're here to do. You know, we're professionals in this sector. We're here to do the digging. If we, you know, if we come to a loose end, we know what our next step will already be. So even if, you know, the authorities in Perth try and close us down, from what you've told me alone, I and with the notes that, you know, already made from this phone call, you know, with my team, you know, obviously I'll be your case handler, I'll always be your point of call, but there's other people who, you know, do different work, you know, they do, you know, the background kind of work, they'll see this note, you know, my notes, and they'll know that, you know, there's authorities in place that are trying to be quite secretive, and this isn't...
Yeah, that's fair. Like, I actually contacted the court and everything, and asked for any court documents, anything at all that was in there that was connected to my lead people being.
Yeah.
And the woman was right on the phone, she said, there's nothing here, we have nothing for you. And then I phoned back, and again, I'm like, well, you have, because I know it was there. It was granted in Perth.
Mm.
Nothing, and it's like, there's nothing. So it's like having a bad one. Like, I'm the problem. You know,
yeah.
I'm doing everything wrong. I'm just
yeah. Well, now, Mr. Taylor, obviously, you know, you've got a law firm, yeah, besides, you know, which, you know, they probably, you know, the Perth authorities, they probably may not have expected it from yourself, but now, you know, we're here to work for you.
I'm always telling you, because I feel like I'm going to explode, like, the amount of times I have in the last year as well. Like,
yeah.
I could do it on Facebook, on my old Perth business page. Just to see if anybody else was adopted through that church, just to see what was found for that. And I can't do it. I cannot do it.
Well, yeah, no, when we request for records, you know, it sounds bad to say, it's easy for authorities to decline records to the public when it comes to, you know, what the public wants to find out their own information. But when it comes from a law, when it comes from a law firm perspective, they have a legal obligation to give any information, and if they are withholding any information from a law firm in regards to a case, they're committing a crime in itself. Whereas some organisations, if they wanted to be secretive, like what you're explaining to me, you know, it's easy for them to sweep it under the carpet because there's no legal obligation behind it. Okay, I know it's a legality to give you your records, but from when a law firm is requesting them, it's like a whole other kind of worms for them.
Yeah.
So that's...
The council, actually, I don't know what they've done, but they put something on my note, but they put it out to every place in Perth about me. Because even when I phoned my vet about the dog, she said to me, oh, is it Albert? And I said, no, Albert wasn't my dog. Oh, it must be Luna. Luna was the register here. But how did he know that information?
Yeah.
You know, there was something in the nursing home to stay away from me because I was a bad person and I'm also a drug dealer. And I stay with a man and I work. And I'm like, if I stay with a man, for one, they would be dealing with the control. The man would be dealing with the control.
Yeah.
The pairs, like, 8 years. 8 years I've had them up and down. I've got lists. I've had witnesses. Like, they're supposed to come at 3 o'clock, they're banging on my door like the pole is at 1 o'clock. They give me a heart attack, like, give me a fight. And I'm like, I open the door and I'm like, you're meant to be here at 3 o'clock. I've got complex PTSD, which part of that do you not understand?
Yeah.
So if I hear a noise, like, even if I hear a car at night, if a car stops, I'm like, wait, wait.
Yeah, I understand that, but it's...
You know, and that is my... complex PTSD, but that has been going on for years, but I didn't know that was how it made me react. And they know this now, the council, and still don't care. Like, I don't work with anybody. I wish a body did, because I wouldn't be doing this myself. You know? I've not worked with a man. Council tax, they had me paying, I wasn't getting a 25% discount, my council tax, for 2 years. Now, my ex had moved out 8 years ago. He had his own council house. He didn't live here. And yet, they didn't change my council tax. He was off the penny through the lock. And when I pleaded it, he said, well, you never said anything about it. I said, I can't eat. And when I was married, my ex-husband dealt with all that sort of stuff, because he was better at it. I can't count. I can't eat. But I don't know. Maybe it's dyslexic or something. I didn't care. I can't add up, and I can't do things that I should do, and I've masked it for years. And because I never noticed the 25% discount wasn't added, and I got welfare rights involved, who are actually from Perth Council, and they know about this, and yet I got nothing back, I got no money back, you know, I got nothing. And it's like, well, to me, if you're living in a house with somebody, you wouldn't be entitled to some benefit that you would if you were on your own. And I have been on my own. I have, but because I haven't noticed this, I don't use my council tax down. So it used to come off my money. So it's like, all that was taken care of, I just, because I can't budget, I'm not very good at math. It's like, we just deliberately do that. So, like, I don't know.
Yeah, no,
it's corrupt. They also took like 2 grand off of me when I got my backdated employment support allowance. They took £2,000 off me for something. I didn't know what it was, but I didn't. I can't read. And my dad had just died, and sure they are, 4 years later. And it's all sort of thinking now, like, what was that for? You know, I've got an overall payment of when I was supposed to be working for a company. I wasn't working for any company. It was my brother's company in England. Because I didn't sit down and stay with him in England, he took offence to this. And because he kept calling me on the phone constantly, I got the police to help me stop. Because he owned a security company in England, he thought he was better, he said, what he wanted. So he phoned the social work, the job centre, and said I was working for him. I'm not working for him. I says, my daughter puts money in my bank for my daughter, for my son, for me, because he says, over his dead body, with his sister go through the same as his mum went through. And that was his way of helping us, because we were on our own.
Yeah.
And I didn't get paid in school for us. I didn't get paid, because like, I wasn't working. So that was what he did. And the job centre, I told them all this, he gave me the company name and my sketch my brother. And I burst into tears. That was 13 years ago. And I think this is now the £6,000. But they're taking off me at £60 a month that I can't afford. And it's like, you're just cut his class down to all directions. You know, and if you generally didn't believe me 13 years ago, why didn't you say 13 years ago? I just seen there's an overpayment now, 13 years later, and I've got a £6,000 bill. Because I never had any bills, I never had any debt, eh? I'd manage, luckily.
Yeah.
I've been brought up old school. You're going to get in a can of force something, then you get bit. You know, but all these bits keep occurring to me, and it's like, I'm lucky you actually checked these out, because I didn't know the DWC was a job center. And I've asked them for a subject access test as well, just to find out whether I'm not overpaid or was I not. And if it was because of this report that I was working for Danny, well, no, I'm going to stand there and say absolutely not what I said 14 years ago. And then Danny had to then produce whatever he needs to produce.
Yeah.
If I was working for him, I would have had wage slips, I would have had tax things, you know. Like, no. Absolutely, he's a counsellor and he's corrupt and he's a paedophile. He does not want, this is a best blood brother, does not want you dragging up this court case.
Yeah.
Because of the things that he's done. He thinks I'm just like, oh no, be grateful, you know, my life now, and I'm like, no. And he's actually got a radio station in Houston that he could put this all over. He could get all the story out of that he's adoption.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it goes out to thousands of people every day in Spain, different countries, Portugal, everyone. And you're going to do it. And I'm like, well, why? Why won't you do it? Because he's dodgy.
Yeah.
Or he's manipulative and horrible.
Yeah.
And he's fiddled Batman, the taxman, you name it, he's done it. I wasn't brought up with him. He wanted me and my daughter to move down to Hastings with him to live as partner, me and him as a partner, and bring my daughter up as ours. Because he couldn't see that he was actually my one brother. A bit like your dad, isn't it? Maybe. I've got one track, mine is the man in the family. But, I mean, that's another court thing that I'm going to either have to deal with, fight with, or just pay the £6,000.
Yeah, no, and of course, obviously, on one hand you want to fight, but on the other hand, you know, the things I haven't got.
I think it's all connected, I really honestly do. I think it's like her. She's caused too much trouble, she's seen too much rain here, she, you know, she's now realised that they just don't, you know, the nursing home connects to the church is connected to the adoption, and it's a good trafficking, it's like, oh, shit, what have I done?
Yeah.
Like, well, I couldn't have put a photo of myself in a worse position or a better position, whatever way you want to look at it.
Yeah. No, I understand that. And just, you know, you yourself, you can cross that bridge when it comes to this, for now, you know, you know that's not, you know, a thing to affect you as such, you know, that's out of your control, and you know what your, you know, the local authority is doing to you, so let them try and, you know, pay to shoot you and do what they're doing. Just obviously just do your best to not, you know, let them get to you. And I know that's so easy said than done. But you know what they're doing, do you know what I mean? And how they're trying to, you know, manipulate things. So you know, right now, you just put all your focus into getting this closure for yourself, you know, getting this scheme done. And, you know, as I said,
I'm just like, I'll just take a back seat, like, once I've felt you everything I need to tell you, like.
Of course.
Cause, like,
that's exactly what we're here for. What are you registered at, Miss Taylor?
It's somehow Health Centre.
Is that in Perth, is it?
Yeah, it's, what's the street called? Megson Street. I think it's Megson Street, and it's kind of at the back of Megson Street. I'll probably still come under that. And I'm trying to actually remember what my actual proper doctor is, because I see every single doctor going.
Yeah. Don't worry. Is it the Drumar Health Centre on North Meston Street?
That's it.
It's the Yellow Practice. Yeah, the Yellow Practice, that's it.
Yeah.
Don't worry about your doctor's name, as such. Obviously, we know nowadays the you know, not everybody has the one assigned doctor, it's whoever's available and whatever, but the surgery itself will have your records.
Years ago, because I wasn't getting any of the other doctor, and I went back to the family one, and I got a locum for 2 years, and he was lovely, he was really, really good at it, and then he left, and then COVID came, and then it's like,
How long have you been registered at this doctor's for?
At the doctor's now, what do you think? When did I go back to him? I don't know if it's been 10 years, say 10 years maybe.
Okay.
That might be wrong though, after it's been again. A few years anyway. I was at that practice when I first came up here. And that was a family doctor. That was a family. And then I moved to fight fires.
Yeah. So you're... Sorry, go on.
No, it's okay.
Your care settings here with Mr. and Mrs. Ian and Elizabeth Taylor, was this then under Perth Council, was it?
According to Perth Council, no.
Okay.
A woman from Dundee phoned me, Dundee Social Work. Now, she actually phoned me on a public holiday on the Monday, which I found very strange. And she was from an adoption that was Dundee. And I said, I've been in Perth, so it's Perth, I would presume. But that was the woman that was sent down. Like, she wanted me, like, the way she was asking me, she's like, what can we do for you? And I'm like, well, I don't know, because I don't know who you are. You know?
Yeah.
And then, like, that phone call was like, well, we're offering you help, but you're not getting it.
Yeah.
And this is back. But I didn't really know who the wifey was, or, like, I mean, literally, she's like, honestly, she's like, was 12. And I'm like, you couldn't have got something, like, I can tell the way you're speaking to me, you know what you're doing for your job.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, right. She was waiting for me to ask the brand. And I was like, well, this is what I need. Like, I need documents. You know, if you've got any documents. But there was not, she had absolutely, she had nothing regarding you. And she actually asked, when she phoned me, she used my, first name that I was, my first mum gave me, which I found strange. Which
okay.
I, Cheryl and McDonald.
I was going to confirm that name with you.
Yeah. Then he asked me how you spell it, because it's got that many different spellings.
Yeah.
I don't even know how to say it right. Like, I can't even, I've got a name I've never really heard. Like Cherry Wynn or something, or Cheryl, or Cheryl, I don't know. Cheryl or not. Cherry Wynn. I don't know.
Well,
McDonald's got a one, just a small C. It's not got a M-A-C. It's just M, small C.
Yeah, okay.
The mum and dad were married, and the social worker in one of the bits of paper said, if we had spoken to your husband and he agrees with getting the baby adopted, how would you feel? But they never got this thingy because there's a thingy saying we need to get this dad's consent. But this was in 1975.
Yeah.
After it's like, well, you're a bit late. But he didn't even care. He didn't care. He knew he had burns. But he didn't care. Where we were.
Yeah.
The other brother is me to the same dad. I was the one that was of the marriage. I was the fifth child of the marriage.
Yeah.
And the sixth child was to a different man.
Okay, so yeah, there's some things.
Maybe the brother was adopted by the Dundee lot because he was a boy, and maybe I was the guild of service because I was a girl.
Yeah.
Which maybe would make sense, that's why, yeah,
I've seen the Dimmy Cam or the two cans. I think can. I've no idea, I don't know. Because they all thought me and the boy were together. And I was like, no, we weren't together. Like, I didn't even know about them.
Yeah. So do you know if Edinburgh Council have got any involvement in the thing?
Oh, I never thought about them, no.
Because obviously that's where...
Pat Manning Council were the ones on the social work report because I was in foster care in Menchie. So it was Clark Manning Council.
Okay.
It seems to be that Mr. Cameron from there that kind of was a bit of a bully and waved the consent form in the mum's face.
Yeah.
Each time, and you know, they tried to get in contact with the mum. You know, well, the mum's dad, like, so the granddad,
yeah,
died actually 3 months after I was born, so he had an accident at work in the field.
Oh, okay.
So, like, obviously the woman, do you know what I mean? The house would have been a mess.
Yeah.
You know, she's just had a baby 3 months ago, and it's away in care, and you know, she's got these 3 other kids, but she got her kids back, that's the thing. She managed, she got her house. And she got her 3 kids back, and it's like, well, you want to be back, like you said, right at the start. You know, she just needed a bit of help so she got her house.
Yeah.
And it was like, well, who decides, like? I'm actually fuming about it. I'm fuming, the more I speak about it, I get, I'm angry about it.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Mm.
That's a Protestant church.
Yeah.
I'm a Catholic girl. And within a year, I've been up in Perth and baptised a lot.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do some thinking on that. What, obviously, just so you know as well, I have put here that, you know, your adoption was through Perth Council, who are denying any involvement. But I also have noted down to query Dundee Council, as you said, the first phone call from them, Clackamond Council, but I also have put in there to query Stirling Council as well, just obviously because that's where you're all kind of originated from.
Yes.
So I want to see if they have any records of involvement.
Well, it doesn't say I was born in the hospital. Doesn't say Sutherland Hospital, it says Sutherland Maternity Home. But yet my brother, a year before me, like, he was born in Royal Infirmary. So it's like, well, something changed. But the children's, the mother and baby homes is where they got the special. And they weren't meant to be given it to. It was banned in America, it was banned here. They were still giving it out in the children's home, in the mother and baby home. And I said point 31 was young to have cervical cancer. I mean, I know it's 50 years ago, but even so, it's still young.
Yeah, of course.
When young, dodgy. Sounds awful.
Of course. When you were... When you obviously told me at the very start of the phone call about the Guild of Servers, you mentioned a castle. Was that castle Airfield Castle?
Castle? No, Edsel House they had.
Ah, okay.
The Guild of Servers. So, like, that adoption agency that changed to my family care, and then Birthright, they also owns Edgar Lodge.
Yeah, the Lodge, that's it, yeah. No, I just had to do, or try and see if anything came up for Stirling Maternity Home, obviously with what was listed on your birth certificate, but it's given me a kind of result of...
Oh, it's given you Airless Castle or something, isn't it?
Yeah. So it says that was saved as the primary maternity hospital for the Stirling area from 1939 to 1969, sorry. I know that you were born in 73, but obviously as we know, you know, not on Zero Baby, as what it says.
Well, I kind of wondered that too. But because obviously with the year, I thought what must be shot then must have been. I think that is connected to the university.
Yeah.
And the university in Edinburgh, funnily enough, has the archives for the Guild of Elvis. If you look into the Guild of Elvis, right, so there was the Guild of Elvis is like for picking up prostitutes and sitting at train stations picking up lassies, right, that are vulnerable, right, apparently.
Yeah.
So I don't know how the Guild of Elvis were involved with my mum when she was married and had all these kids. I kind of see the connection of how I was event there, but I tried to Google their charity number, the Guild of Elvis.
Yeah.
It took me, and I didn't know if I've done it right or I freaked myself or I don't know what I've done. And I can't find it again. When I googled the charity number, it took me to somewhere in Larbert that was a bus depot.
Okay.
But going back to that church and that minister, like the pianist or whatever you call him, the organist at the church.
Yeah.
Years and years ago, it was him that married Anne Gogh, that owned Stagecoach. And it's them that were involved with the trafficking people.
Yeah.
But when I come up, you know, when it comes up bus depot in Larbert, I'm thinking, what? Like, there shouldn't be a connection to bus depot.
Yeah, of course.
I know about the bus depot because I know that Anne Gogh's husband was at that church and that there's still their family church.
Yeah.
But the building across the road from that church was King James VI building, hospital building, and it was originally run by monks.
Yeah.
And it was kind of not the nicest of places. Nuns and all that as well, eh?
Yeah.
And that's where Mum was. Mum and Dad got the first house there, but I think that must have been through Mum.
Yeah.
Because there was a carry on with her family when she was young. And I think social work were involved with her because she got sent up to Dundee. So I'm thinking, well, Dundee, Perth, you know, she got a house in Perth.
Yeah.
Her dad was in Perth, you know, but I'm thinking, well, there's still a connection to Dundee.
Yeah.
I should actually be a detective.
You have done some digging, like, haven't you?
No, but it's like, it's actually like, I can speak about things like this. Like,
yeah.
See, I can't even go to the shop and remember what... I can't even go upstairs and remember what I'm going for. Like, I'm not a hateless chicken.
Yeah, no, I understand.
So it seems to be like, well, I'm trying to get everything that I know out before I forget it, because my memory is terrible.
Yeah.
It's been terrible for years. And it's like, I just feel like there's... I feel like there's something not right. I feel like there's something not right with that church. I've seen the bullying and the manipulation that goes on in that church. I've seen the pedophilia. You know? I've seen the cover. I've seen the prisoners getting taken to the church on a Sunday. For days. You know? And they're giving all the old running cuddles at the church, and then the prisoners are giving out the phone numbers. Asking for the women's phone numbers, like women that are in their 60s. Vulnerable women, that's no right.
No, not at all.
Not a chance. And like, I might be like, what? My mum's one of those vulnerable people. Because if you go to the church, it doesn't matter what you've done. As long as you go to the church. And I'm like, their mum's a murderer. Like, you know, or whatever they've done. She says, oh, but it's a shame they don't keep in contact when they get out. And I'm like, are you for real?
Yeah, she's kind of oblivious to it.
They're so gullible and so easily led, and I suppose I've been the same for years.
Yeah.
Years ago, but I kind of knew there was something wasn't right. And I've been like that for years. I just can't even abide it. I've got spiritualist church.
can speak to the dead because they'll not harm you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, we're gonna do some digging into the council that I mentioned just before, and obviously once we receive any of the records, and obviously we request your medical records, I am presuming you'd like these records to be shared with yourself. Is that correct?
Well, just the
you
know, the medical ones, and it's pretty much garbage. It doesn't tell you anything about my mental health. It tells you how many times I've come to the doctors, how many times I haven't managed to go to the doctors. But you know, even years ago, I can't go out the door. I couldn't say that I've got to go out the door tomorrow. I've got to go to the doctor because come tomorrow, I'm not being able to go. I can't go out the door.
Yeah.
And they've been they're not interested. I don't know. I think I'm too much of a problem. I'm now asking for Lucy to get tested, you know. And it's like, well, I need to stand up for Lucy. Because nobody did that for me. I wouldn't be a good mum if I didn't.
Of course, I understand that, yeah.
The doctors are supposed to be on your side. It's just, I don't know if it's, they're all just connected and too much of a cover-up. And one can't see one thing and keep hands in the other one in trouble, I think. You can better than me. Is this normal? Is this literally like an everyday occurrence to other people?
The answer is it's 50-50. Sometimes it is hard to get records on, you know, clients because of what their background is. You know, people. You know, as you said, you know.
Even for the police as well.
Not so much from the police. The police guys have worked with us quite well.
This is what I'm concerned about as well. So I've worked in the taxi company for years, right? And I was myself groomed at 15, a 42-year-old man. Right? And I have been approached twice, 6 years ago, in the taxi office when I've been wanting to get home to that taxi. And I said to my daughter, if you're out, go to the taxi office, you're safe. And twice there's been a foreign man and they're trying to pick up women drinking. You can't do that in the taxi office.
No, definitely not.
The second time I told them, it's like, to do one. And they got the police. Now I worked in that office. They never let on that I worked there. The police came to me and actually charged me for being racist.
Wow.
And I never took the charge. And I said to the police woman, I said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. I said, take yourself back in there. Look at the CCTV, they came for me, that woman came out to buy the desk to hit me. I never even heard her, to be honest, and I never moved. But that's what happened. I never raised my hand, never called anybody in the day before. I said, all you men are the same, men, not foreign men, all you men. Because at that time, a single man in my life had one thing in his head. And I'm like, I can spot it a mile away now. And I called it out, and the police for 2 years took me back and forth to court. Then all that got through because I was concerned that, listen, that taxi office should be a safe place. It's got foreign men working in the office, driving young lasses. I've heard all about it. I've heard about the grooming gangs in each city.
Yeah.
And I've still worked in the taxis. I know what's going on. And the police turned a blind eye to it, trying to get me done. And then when I didn't end up getting done. But my solicitor was more interested in my daughter than chatting her up.
Wow.
And once he finished the case they ran, I got a bag and later, if I ever got any of this stuff again, I could be charged.
Wow.
And the first solicitor, I don't remember, didn't defend me, so my daughter was taken off me. The second one was more interested in what was Lucy doing, how old was she, where did she work, and would you like a job here? And the third one, paralegal in there, I messaged him over a Facebook messenger thing, told him sort of roughly what the thing was, and I was like, would you be able to help me? And he was like, well, depends what you offer me. And I'm like, well, I'll get legal aid, you know, I hope, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And he was like, is there anything else you can offer me? Just being perverted.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've still got the text messages. This is what I'm up against in Perth. I know. And the woman that she was, well, was defending my husband in the first place, didn't take into account any of them. Like, a daughter can't be away from her mum. I could see the point of having a drug deal or a junkie, whatever, putting heroin, the lot. Absolutely. But I wasn't like that. We had a house, we had a son, Jeremy and I had a partner, we had the dogs, we had holidays, we had birthdays, we did things nice there.
Yeah.
So Maureen and the solicitor did me defend me, and they took her that night. And I could not drag her back. I know they said, oh, go through the courts, but I was like, she wanted to stay with her dad.
Yeah.
A 12-year-old got to stay with her dad because she got out to do whatever she wanted, when she wanted. But it was also folk going around with her dad, testing her brother, and then she was going to her house, and the guy was a paedophile, an old man. And I kind of tried to get the story out of the sea. And over the years, I've kind of got the story, but I still haven't got to the end of the story. But he was looking at the computer, and looking at, because she likes dogs, he was writing a story about dogs. The computer was in his bedroom, he gave her a cuddle, gave her juice, and I went, oh, I found. And I told the police about that, the police came up and they almost arrested me because I said they were going to go down to his house. And nothing got done about it, absolutely nothing. Our dad got her out the door 10 minutes later. And he's like, this is what I'm up against. So I always thought, why have I lost my daughter? There was supposed to be a solicitor that was independent, in between he was coming to see me, see David, see our stepdad, you know, just see her general life out.
Yeah.
Never spoke to her granny and granddad, but did he? Because I thought, well, no, we went to church. We still went to church at that time, you know? But it's like, was it all to get them? I didn't care.
Yeah.
But it's not until now, you think, and with the ex-police, who was really badly with his dad, and went on football holidays, and once he was at football holidays, which was 14. Now, that's no place for a 14-year-old.
No.
That police was there with her, retired. Well, why did he retire? You know what I mean? Early. I just didn't care. And, you know, once he went through all the Black Watch houses, he must have had something to do with the Black Watch. So once he'd go in the van with him, and she was in a house, and there was a girl in a house. I said, how'd you think there was a girl in the house? She says, I've seen it. I says, what did Dave see it? She says, yeah. And I'm like,
no.
You think to tell me this now? She's 23 now. But it's like, bloody hell. And then the guy died. Just months after I put in the subject access request and poor. I just don't know. I might be way off, Mark. I hope I am. But the guy always seemed to be at the boot. He was a gossip. Even the day I went to court, he was sitting in the bigger spoon from the corner where everybody goes when they've been at court, if they've got to go back. And he just happened to be sitting there that day. You know, and I think about it now, and it's like,
Yeah, it's not that life.
I know.
Yeah.
And then, like, that force, his brother hung himself, and it seems to be anybody that had any abuse, like sexual abuse, and family abuse, to hang yourself.
Mm.
That's how that should be do it. Like, you don't go and jump in the river, you don't jump in front of a car or a bus, or, do you know what I mean? You actually hang yourself. Everything does it the same way. But it's like, it's something that tries to say a story, trying to get a story out. The folk are like too busy with their life, you really care like what's going on. You probably don't want to care what's going on.
They don't have to face the problems.
Yeah, but what worries me is the length that they're going to cover him up and try and manipulate me. Like, literally, I've had such tears of apartment front of my guy. And it's like, if I can't start 20 meters up the road,
and in the road, and the woman's got a drive here going to just park in front of her drive, or in it.
Yeah.
And you've got mine, but it's like the other, it's 4 or 5 times a day, different hearers. And I've complained about all this as well, because it was like, look, this isn't fair. Why is a man here that had a car? You know? It wouldn't be happening, because you would suspect that you've got a car.
Yeah.
But it's just like manipulation, I know. And it's like, I feel, I'm not even exaggerating, it's like, folk can come up going off my head. And it's like, well, I might be, but because I don't go out, and I notice quite a lot now, unfortunately,
yeah.
I'm starting to see a lot more.
Yeah, yeah. The real adaptation's hitting you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to get them into trouble any more than I want this in public. But I just want to take them, what the hell, like, who thought it was good to take a Catholic child? Like, that's the bit, and the fact that you surprised me and my sister, so I always wanted a sister, eh? And they're both good. It's like, just, no. I had a brother, I didn't want another brother, and I didn't want another dad.
Yeah.
And I maybe just like a nice mum, but that's what pisses me off. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I understand that, Mr. Taylor.
It's just like the, like, you know, they're all both ways. It wouldn't be cringe if I hop them in the face.
Yeah. What I want to do for you, Mr. Taylor, is obviously it's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you. No, it really has, honestly. And I, to be honest, like, personally, I couldn't be more proud of you for opening up to yourself and sharing this information with me, and I know it takes a lot for you to speak to people, especially people who you haven't met before or spoken to before, but...
And you've been nice, and so was Billy nice, and other than you two, nobody else has ever really been nice, and I'm not that, just in the chemist, isn't it nice?
No, I do, I really do understand it. But what I am going to do, obviously, before I go, is I just need to go over a few things with yourself. Just obviously you've got the understanding of how we work. So obviously you and I are going to be on this journey for around about 6 to 12 months now. With this case, I'm going to be updating you every 4 to 5 weeks. With obviously how this case is progressing and what we're doing to strengthen your case.
I've got a battle in your hands for them. What do we do?
Well, it's not a battle that we don't enjoy, trust me.
Well, can I keep it and go away? Can I just tell you the other hand?
Because of course.
You know the Epstein thing?
Yeah.
Right, still in person.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay.
You've got Angle, Glen Eagles and all that. Angle is like the richest woman probably in the bloody world ever again. I don't know why I'm getting that feeling. I had that feeling before he even said person's stolen.
Yeah.
And trafficking, because just I leave that for another day, like, but just
yeah.
Maybe okay. I can remember that.
I definitely will. I've just made a note of it then, so I definitely will. Of course. But yeah, obviously just going back, obviously just so you know how we work. This case just get put forward to an independent panel within the Scottish Government. Now this is dealt with behind closed doors, so you or I don't have to attend anywhere. But what I will be informing you of is when that date will be, and also the results of the case as well.
They won't do that.
Trust me, they will. As part of this scheme, they can't deny anything. Unfortunately, the scheme is built for survivors like yourself to, deal with these situations. So it doesn't matter if they have limited information, they still can't deny or turn you away in any circumstances.
So see these judges that made these adoptions.
Yeah.
Like, planted them behind closed doors. Are they, were they just doing their job, or were they doing something that they weren't supposed to be doing as well?
I unfortunately can't comment on that, because we don't know. That's the reason why, is because we don't know. So I can't make an accusation from a legal point of view if it's a false accusation. Obviously, if I had the facts, I'd be able to share the facts, no problem. But just, yeah, unfortunately, I don't have that information or experience to know whether they, you know, it is right or wrong what they've done.
I can send you some of the paperwork that I've got. Just like the headings on the top of it, so you kind of know, like, kind of like the everyone made a Melville Street in Perth. Social head of social work. I just sort of, so that you can, I'm no lying.
Of course, yeah. What I want to do is I am going to send you an email, because I do need to get an additional document from yourself anyway. So I am going to send you an email. With obviously you having that email from me, you can send me through any documents that you have in relation to, you know, everything that you have in care.
You're not connected to anyone with the council or that, are you?
Yeah, of course, you can send it all through. Obviously, in your own time between now and just say, you know, the next 3 months, you can send it through, and obviously the more information you give us, the more we can work from and attach it to your file and present to the Scottish Government as well.
That's what I'm thinking, because I'm thinking, though, I bet I'm not the only one, so if I, like, send you what I think can, like, will help, there's bound to be other people. When that Scottish Government get that, then they're going to obviously start up, because I'm not doing anything new. Like that, John Cena and everything got back to me.
Yeah.
Everything got back to me.
Yeah.
And these are the deep push-ups.
Yeah, no, we're here to do the, you know, the groundwork on getting these records back for yourself.
And so I've been hiding for the last month thinking they already have this. And I said, you need to hide them.
Yeah. No, of course. It's what we're here for, Miss Taylor. We're here, to help you and work with you, and, you know, even for you in regards to, you know, this case. It's what we're here to do, and we understand the vulnerability behind, you know, the circumstances of what yourself has been put through. So we're here for you. So I just want to reassure you of that. What we do, as I said, what we do first and foremost as a law firm, we do like to get an official apology from the Scottish Government in regards to, you know, for what's been happening to you and wrongdoing for your time and care. But we do fight for financial compensation for yourself as well. Okay? Just going to your documents, do you have any physical ID at all, like a passport?
Passport, yes.
Is your passport in date?
Yeah, only till December.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. If I can you just confirm your email address for me, please?
Oh God, now you're asking. Because this is what I can't even remember how to sign up, and I hate the emails.
Okay, if I can help you out by saying, is it Shale Taylor 73?
Could be, but I'm going to struggle to find that one there.
at gmail.com. That's the one that we have here. I just don't want to say anything wrong. I think it would be the one that Billy's contacted you on previously.
Yeah. Sometimes I can find it, and other times I can't. I can't even find my text message got on my phone. I'm shocking, but I think that's just the way my head is, eh?
Yeah, no, I understand that.
Things I should know. I can't find it.
Or do you use, obviously, instead of your email, do you use WhatsApp at all?
That's what it was, WhatsApp, yeah.
Oh, okay. I can message you on WhatsApp. And you can then just reply back.
Passport.
Yeah, so if and when we send you a message via WhatsApp, if you just reply back as like a picture message with your passport, that would be perfect. Obviously, with that picture, we just need to say we do need to see all four corners of your passport and just the writing as clear as possible as well. So obviously, no light on the picture, the writing, and obviously just try and get it as clear as you can with the focus.
Okay.
Before I do let you go, Miss Taylor, I am just going over the legal fees with yourself. And once this is done, I shall then let you go to enjoy a nice Wednesday, well, the rest of the Wednesday morning. Okay. No, that's good. Have a nice strong coffee. That's what you need. A nice strong coffee. Okay, Miss Taylor, so I'm going to read out these three options to yourself. Once this is done, I'm going to formally ask you on this recorded call whether you're happy to proceed with MMA Legal, moving forward to represent you. And then once that's done, I'll let you go and I'll send you a WhatsApp so you can send me over your proof of identification, okay?
Okay, thanks.
Okay, Miss Taylor, so when it comes to the Scottish Redress application, you are applicable to three types of funding. Option one is that you can apply to do this application yourself without a solicitor or a law firm to represent you, and that's just you gathering your own evidence and presenting your own case to the Scottish Government. Option two is that you can instruct a different solicitor or law firm in England or Scotland who participates in the Scottish Government legal fee scheme, where they are paid £2,000 by the Scottish Government to handle your case, but they do not charge any fees to handle your case. Whereas option three, being ourselves, we are a private and independent law firm, so we work on a no-win, no-fee basis. So if for whatever reason the case didn't go in our favour, then we wouldn't come and chase you for any legal fees and cause that financial burden or stress upon yourself. We are covered in that sense. If and when the case does go in our favour and you do receive compensation, we do take a percentage of 16% plus VAT, which is a cap percentage of 19.2%. Now, it doesn't matter what kind of compensation you may receive, we never come looking for more. We just take our caps percentage, obviously rightly so, for the time, effort and work.
Yeah, we have absolutely.
Okay, so with them three options being read to yourself, Ms. Taylor, are you happy to proceed with MMA Legal to move forward to represent you?
Aye, yeah, definitely.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Of course, I'm glad we are and can be for you. Exactly. Yeah. No, it's come at the right time for you, and I'm glad. Obviously, as I said, you know, I'm glad we can help you in this sense and get the revenge that you deserve on the Scottish Government and the many local authorities placed under the Scottish Government. Okay, so what I'll do for you now, Ms. Taylor, is I'll send you a WhatsApp just so you can send that message over to myself.
Right.
Or I can upload that to your case file then.
Okay, perfect.
Okay. Is there any questions or anything else before I do let you go, Ms. Taylor?
No, I think it's kind of...
I'll go and make a nice coffee thinking of you. And I, as I said, my name is Aaron.
I can't even remember Aaron, right? Okay.
Aaron, yeah. Miss Taylor, don't forget to save this number. And obviously, for any future contact. But if you do have any other questions or anything, just pop into mine. You're more than welcome to give me a call, okay?
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate it.
Not a problem, Miss Taylor. I hope you enjoy the rest of your day and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. Bye now.
Bye. Thank you.